hello and welcome to Business IQ Radio, coming to you from Bedford, New Hampshire. I'm Don Byrne. I'm one of your hosts. My co-host, Andrea O'Brien, is still on holiday, traveling to an undisclosed location. She will be back next week, but I'm sure in the meantime that she's keeping busy and having a good, well-deserved time. We have an interesting show today. We'll be talking about some international issues, especially focusing on the Caribbean Basin and talking about how businesses in New Hampshire might either export products to the Caribbean or, on the other hand, import items from the Caribbean to be sold here in the state. We have a little bit of housekeeping to get out of the way first, so I'd like to handle that. First, I'd like to remind everybody that you can contact us, and we would really love to hear from you. There are several ways to do that. You can send us an email at bizIQradio@gmail.com. That's BIZIQRADIO, bizIQradio@gmail.com. We would love to hear any suggestions or thoughts you have, recommendations for shows or guests, or just comments on the things that we're doing, topics you'd like to see us cover. If you would like to hear a show again or are interested in catching up on some of the topics that we have already discussed, you can do that very easily just by going to the podbean.com website. That's P-O-D-B-E-A-N, like bean.com, podbean.com, and just type in wbnh1051.podbean.com. It'll take you to the archive, and there you can find our show as well as the other very nice shows that are being broadcast here on WBNH 105.1. There is a Facebook account that the station operates. It's WBNH Bedford Radio, and certainly you can post some comments there to us as well. So please do take the opportunity to let us know what you'd like to see covered, if you have some thoughts, if you'd like to be a guest and you think you have an interesting topic of general interest. We don't do, as you know, we don't do promotion of individual businesses, but if you have some expertise or want to share some information, we'd love to have you come on board. I'd also say that the station is always looking for people to start shows. If you're interested in perhaps producing a show, much like we have this talk show, BizIQ Radio. Others are doing very interesting, terrific shows that are music-focused. Some are doing ones that are technology-focused. We really would love to have you contact the station manager, Harry Kowalski, and let Harry know that you're interested in doing a show, and he will talk to you and give you some advice and tell you what's involved. And it's a very rewarding experience, I can tell you, from my own efforts in this area. It's fun, it's interesting, and I think we're hopefully contributing a little bit of information to the public in general. So that's a little bit of the housekeeping. I think one other item that is worth mentioning before we spend a few minutes getting ready for our guests talking about international business is to mention that we have Old Town Day coming up pretty soon. It's being held September 24th at the Riley Field, right down from the high school. And it's an event that begins at 10 in the morning, goes to 3. There's no charge to attend. There'll be activities for children. I think they'll have one of the bouncy houses there. And there will be various vendors. There'll be some food, I think, available. And it's important that you come out and have an opportunity to see what's going on in the town and support this particular activity. I will tell you that WBNH will be there, and I and some of the other people who produce shows will be there. We can answer your questions. A great place to come if you're interested in understanding what's involved in putting on a show. You'd like to learn more about that. Very, very good place to come. So that's going to be on Saturday, September 24th. Between 10 and 3 p.m. Please do come by. By the way, if you are interested in getting a booth, I don't know if it's too late, but the thing to do and the person to reach out to is contact the park and recreation group here at the town hall in Bedford, and they can give you a lot of information about what's involved in having a booth. Interestingly, the Old Town Day began in 1994, so we're just over 20 years old. It'll be our 22nd year, I think, that this is taking place, and it's a very worthwhile activity, and there'll be a lot of very interesting groups. If you're not familiar with a lot of the activities that are going on in the community, a lot of the volunteer organizations that are always looking for help, Historic Society, Friends of the Bedford Cemetery, some of the other very, very, really excellent organizations that we have here in town, good place to go and find out about those things. Now, today we're going to be, we have two guests that are coming in, a husband and wife team, Malcolm and Jamie Reed. I'll introduce them in a few minutes. I see that they're outside in our green room waiting to come in. But let me just make a couple of general comments about doing business internationally. Anytime you put up a website, you are automatically an international business because people can find you anywhere in the world. And once the search engines have discovered your site, they will begin listing you, and depending upon a variety of different topics, a whole complex topic, possibly one for discussion another time, how to optimize search engine discovery in today's world. But once the search engines discover you, then anybody in the world can easily connect to you and may discover you and have questions for you dealing with your products and services. This is a terrific advantage of today's business environment, but it's also something that you have to be a little cautious about. There are a number of issues to you should bear in mind, and I think that there are a number of partnerships, and I'll explore some of these with our guests when they come in. But you certainly want to get some good legal advice if you're going to be doing any kind of business internationally to make sure that you have the right licenses and you have all of the proper packaging. You should also, and I think if you get a very good lawyer, they can help you with this, or vice versa, you can go to a large bank. You don't want to deal with a regional bank. You want to deal with a bank that has some international experience. They can help you in a variety of ways, including if there's a currency exchange issue to be dealt with, they can give you advice on the best way to do that. Sometimes you can get pretty sophisticated and do hedging in this area. I know a business in Singapore, for example, that makes as much money doing hedging of currencies as they do in selling their product. But this is not something for the faint of heart. This is a very sophisticated and complex topic to be dealt with. So you need a lawyer. You need a good banker. If you're going to travel to another country, I really urge you to go through a major hotel chain and have that hotel chain arrange for transportation from the moment you touch down to the moment you depart, especially if you're dealing in sort of the third world countries that are out there. It can be dangerous, and you would much be better off by having being met by a driver and a car that's been arranged through one of the major hotel chains to pick you up at your airport and drop you there than just taking a random taxi that might be in the location. Mexico City, for example, is notorious for people being picked up in these taxis and really taken for a ride. So you don't want to do that. So you want a hotel. Hotel can make arrangements. Make sure if you're going to some of the more obscure countries, see your physician, see your doctor, tell them where you're going. Check the Department of Commerce website for a variety of reasons, one of which is just to see how safe the area is or if they have any recommendations for travel. Some countries require a visa. Many countries do not, but you want to know about that ahead of time. In some cases, I used to do a lot of business in the Middle East, particularly in Egypt. You can actually buy the access visa on the other end. You go into the Cairo airport, you pay some money, you get a stamp put in your passport, and you're good for, I think it's 30 days before you have to renew it. So a lot of issues to be dealt with there. There are a couple of resources I want to point out to you very quickly. One is go to the Department of Commerce. That's commerce.gov. They're always conducting a lot of interesting activities, including trade exchange days and trade missions. If you have a particular area of interest, they can help you with that. Go to export.gov, which is another government website, and there you can get even some online training, and you can listen to some webinars and learn about various controls and licenses, and they have guides to importing and exporting. So that's export.gov. And we're fortunate right here in New Hampshire, in Portsmouth, to have the International Trade Administration, and they're at 17 New Hampshire Avenue in Portsmouth. Again, part of the government, part of the federal government, that can help you tremendously with making arrangements. They can help you find business partners internationally, people you can trust, and just in general give you a lot of very, very good advice. I can tell you that these folks helped me set up one of the most successful sales meetings I ever ran, and we ran it in Paris, and on their recommendation, we actually held it at the U.S. Embassy, which was a terrific idea and a great, great event. So that's a little bit of background. I think let's get to our guests. You're listening to Business IQ Radio here on 105.1 WBNH, coming to you from Bedford, New Hampshire. And let me welcome our guests, Malcolm Reed and Jamie Reed. Welcome to WBNH.
Thank you, Don, and we're glad to be here. And a special hello to your listeners out there.
Terrific. Yes. And Jamie,
it's a pleasure. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, I'm delighted. Folks, to our listeners, full disclosure, both Malcolm and Jamie actually are friends and colleagues of mine, so I want to be upfront and disclose that. But our show today is going to be really continuing in some of the discussions we've had in the past here on the Business IQ show, which is people in Bedford, in New Hampshire, in the U.S. that are interested in doing business internationally. And as we've said numerous times, once you're on the internet, once you have a website, your business is international. You're doing business international. So Malcolm and Jamie are experts on doing business in the Caribbean. And Malcolm, I think that's not an Irish accent that I detect when I hear you speak. So you are originally from where?
I'm from, that's correct, Don. I'm from Trinidad and Tobago in the Caribbean.
So when most Americans, and Jamie, you're from the U.S. originally, correct?
That's correct. And I lived in Trinidad for about 16 years.
Ah, okay. Very good. So when most Americans, and I think Jamie will understand when I say this, and this is meant in a very good way here, Malcolm. Most Americans think of the Caribbean. I don't think we have a good understanding of the business environment there. We tend to think of palm trees and maybe some rum and maybe some movies we've seen about pirates in the past. And so can you tell us a little bit, you mentioned Trinidad Tobago. Can you tell us a little bit about Trinidad Tobago and where does that fit in the Caribbean and a little bit about the business environment? What's taking place? What's driving your economies down there?
Okay, Don. Trinidad and Tobago, geographically, it's the most southern island in the Caribbean. It's very close to the South American mainland, just a few miles off the coast of Venezuela. English is the primary language in Trinidad and Tobago.
Do you have a native language that other people speak other than English, or is that really the only language?
Yeah, English is, some people can speak Spanish also. A lot of people can speak Spanish, as well as there's a sort of a dialect that would have evolved over a few years.
Like a Pigden version of something.
It's English, but if you, to the untrained ear, it seems like something else.
Right.
Yes. But in terms of the Caribbean economy, it's a very diverse area, multiple islands we're speaking about. So you're correct in the sense of the tourism component of it, which is the sun, sea, sand, stuff like tours and snorkeling, and you get the best of all of that. That's a key part of the Caribbean economy for a lot of islands. But specifically Trinidad and Tobago, our economy, the economy there is based, it's a very strong energy economy. So it's oil and gas. Trinidad sits on a very large gas field and it exports liquefied natural gas.
So this is because I'm guessing you share to some degree the same geology as Venezuela enjoys, which also has a large oil and gas reserve. And so that general area, that whole sort of northern tip of South America into the Caribbean really is an area that's being exploited primarily for energy, right?
Yes, it's a small zone, but it seems to be I guess there are large reserves there. There are large reserves of natural gas there, and Trinidad has been exploring oil for over 100 years, I believe. I believe that's 100 years. So also derivatives of these products, in terms of methanol, one of the largest methanol plants is based in Trinidad and Tobago. Iron and steel and other types of industries that require an input of natural gas or petroleum also flourish in that part of the world.
And what's the approximate population of Trinidad and Tobago?
Approximately 1.3 million.
Okay, so you're a little bit larger or almost comparable to the people in the state of New Hampshire. We're right in that sort of general range.
Yes.
So, and now, Jamie, you are an American who moved down to Trinidad. Did you live on both islands? Did you live in just one? It's one country, Trinidad Tobago. It's the name of the two islands that form one unified government. Am I correct in that?
That's correct. So it's Trinidad and Tobago, and we call them the Twin Islands. Or sister islands. I lived in Trinidad for the entire time, the 16 years that I was there. And we visited Tobago frequently. It's a beautiful island, much more focused on tourism, whereas Trinidad is very industrial.
And when you moved down there, did you get involved in the energy business or involved in other aspects of
That's an interesting question, because I actually did work in the National Gas Company there. And security and business continuity in that area for a few years. So it is one of the main sources of employment on the island, that industry.
And just to round it out, our listeners are always interested in the background of our guests. Why don't you tell me a little bit about, you know, sort of your background? How'd you get into that business? How did you fall into coming down to Trinidad? And then I'll ask the same of you in a little bit as well, Malcolm, if I may.
So, well, I met Malcolm here in the U.S., and we had similar interests, and it eventually took us into security, and then from there, business continuity. So we worked both in the corporate world, or, well, for me, in the oil and gas sector in security, and then we decided to start our own company, focusing on both security and business continuity. So I also have focused quite a lot on instructional design. So with in that area, we've launched online courses for professionals that want to be certified and want to learn more and develop in the fields of security and business continuity.
So as companies here in the U.S. look towards not only Trinidad and Tobago, but the Caribbean in general, is this one of the areas that you see as an opportunity for them, is to do something in the area of online instruction and or business continuity and things of that nature?
Yes. Over the past 3 years in particular, the online education has been growing in Trinidad. And it's a nation where people are very focused on education and professional development. So there's lots of opportunities, of course, in security and business continuity, but also in all of the other professions and fields in that are very vibrant in the country. So in addition to the online training, we have a lot of short courses, one-week courses, where many people from around the world will fly into Trinidad to provide those kinds of courses.
Yeah, very interesting. And now, Malcolm, you have sort of the flip side of this, which is we had Jamie went down to Trinidad, but you came up to the States, and I think you have an interesting background. Can you give us just a little bit about your background? And I know you have something, I think, a wonderful educational experience that I think will surprise some folks.
Yes, yes, Don, thank you. And my trip to the U.S. here took me to West Point. So I'm a graduate of West Point, and that's where I met Jamie. And from there, you know, I got that professional interest.
Were you serving in the military of the country of Trinidad and Tobago or the U.S., or how did you get into the U.S. Military Academy? That's quite an accomplishment in you, to be congratulated for that.
Thank you. And again, the U.S. has a relationship with its international friends, and I believe there are spaces for 8 or so cadets every year internationally, so they come from all over the world. And I was the first person from Trinidad to attend West Point. but since then there have been two others, and that's the extent of the interaction in terms of Trinidad and Tobago. But other countries have sent cadets who have qualified, very qualified, to attend West Point, have gone on to do good things. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, way before my time, the president of, I believe, the Philippines was a West Point graduate at one point in time.
Very interesting. Thanks for bringing us up. So can you tell us a little bit more about the Caribbean in terms of the economy? Because I think, as Jamie was pointing out, the hospitality and tourism industry is a part of it. We've talked about the oil and gas industry, but I think off air, you were telling me that the banking finance is a key aspect of one of the pillars that they're building the economy on. Can you tell us a little bit about, and again, from the perspective of, if somebody in the U.S. were interested in connecting, what would they look to do? What would be the areas of intersection where they might find some interest in doing some things with people in the general Caribbean? And I guess there are, you know, I'm sure it's like talking about Asia. It's a whole community, and it's a lot of individual countries from Haiti and Bermuda. And so just tell us what you, maybe give us a little overview from that perspective.
I'll try to synthesize it into, you know, a basic overview here. In terms of financial services, there's a lot of opportunity for that in from people coming from the U.S. to do investment. A lot of funds, you speak about the Cayman Islands, the Bahamas also have been a strong investment areas. Trinidad and Tobago also has a strong financial sector. And I think, you know, a lot of people from all over the world invest their money in the Caribbean, you know, and it provides good returns for them. Even when we had that economic crisis recently, a few years back, the Caribbean did withstand that storm, for lack of a better term. And again, people's funds and stuff were very safe in that region. There's a lot more industries that are present there. I mean, not just energy industry or the tourism industry. There's a lot of manufacturing taking place, a lot of exports here to the U.S., a lot of imports from the U.S. to the Caribbean. So there's a lot of handshaking taking place.
And as part of this, in talking about the Caribbean, again, speaking about a very large, diverse area, you would be covering some countries that have a low cost of labor, like I would think a place like Haiti or Jamaica, yes. Whereas you'd have other places that have a higher cost of labor. I know Bermuda is part of the Commonwealth, and I think is running a very... So it's really a very different economies that are taking place. And as you're saying, a lot of diverse businesses. I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about that. And, you know, and is fishing one of the things that's being done? And just, you know, what are some of the other ones?
Well, you're quite correct, Don. There is diversity here. To use a economic indicator from the World Bank, there is, I think, three of the islands, at least three, Bermuda, Barbados, and Trinidad and Tobago, are what you call high income economies. And we go all the way down the spectrum to middle income, and also to Haiti, which I believe is one of the poorest countries. It's a low income economy. So there's a spectrum all the way from low income to high income economy existing in the Caribbean chain of islands. And so each island has its own identity, and each island has natural resources that will, you know, that it uses as part of its economy. Some islands are bigger, and some are focused strictly on the tourism industry. So they cater to these large ships when they come in, and give you that excellent service when you go there. When you go to these places, you go for the dream vacation, and that's what you get there. And again, going back to places like Trinidad, there's very diverse economy with the oil and gas and downstream and upstream energy. So you have companies focused on a multitude of industries that's basically spawned out of the energy industry. And I think that's the key thing there, that there's so much diversity, there's so much opportunity in the Caribbean for an investor, or someone from the U.S., a small business even, to partner with people in the Caribbean to deliver services, because being the low-income economies obviously will give you labor at a more favorable rate, as well as the high-income economies will give you, even though they are high-income economies, the labor would still be at a much more favorable rate, but you get very highly qualified people. A lot of people from the Caribbean. Every year we have Rhodes Scholars, that we have people coming here to the top universities and going back. So again, you have that, and Trinidad and Tobago has a 97% literacy rate. And that's measured by, I forget the name of the site, but they measure the 97% literacy rate, as well as tertiary education is very much supported all across the Caribbean, especially in the high-income economy countries. Like Barbados, I believe tertiary education is free. So, you know, if you don't have it, it's because you don't want it.
Right.
You know, so again, you have a very highly skilled labor force, very favorable rates in terms of the cost of labor, and a willingness, the culture is a willingness to interact, a willingness to meet people and to interact and to support, you know, the global economy that we live in.
Yeah, so you're listening to Business IQ Radio here on 105.1 WBNH. And Jamie, if I can ask you for a little bit of, as an American, did you find it a welcoming attitude towards Americans and to doing business down there? I mean, it with a large literacy rate like that, sounds terrific, but of course, how accepting are the people of the interaction and desirous to do business with Americans?
Oh, they're very much interested in doing business with Americans. In some ways, I would say that the people there look to America as an example and for expertise. But as Malcolm said, the people are very highly educated and skilled. And with the cost of employment there being less than here still, it's a great opportunity for operations to be opened in Trinidad. Remember when about 16 years ago when I was first there, one of the major call center firms had opened a call center in Trinidad, which is still operational today, because they could afford to hire skilled native English speakers who would be able to do customer service, sales and marketing. And then even one of the potential opportunities existing now is even in IT, because a lot of the education has been focused on IT. And as Malcolm said, it is not exactly free, but it's very inexpensive for people to do that kind of training. So that would be an interesting opportunity. There's an American Chamber of Commerce, and Malcolm has actually been very active with that organization over the years in terms of helping them to facilitate conferences for professional development.
So that would be if someone in New Hampshire were interested in learning how to engage at least Trinidad Tobago. I don't know other parts of the Caribbean, but that might be one of the points of contact, along with, I would guess, the Department of Commerce.
Yes, I definitely think so. And the benefit of, we call it AmCham, the American Chamber of Commerce, is that they do work closely with the American Embassy in Trinidad and Tobago, and they have chapters in other islands as well.
Yes.
So they're a great resource for connecting with there.
Yes. The American Chamber is a key point of contact. Obviously, the embassy is a standard point of contact. But the American Chamber facilitates American businesses operating and would assist them in doing the relevant paperwork required to do business in the Caribbean. As such, there's also businesses in Trinidad and Tobago willing to do business with American businesses. And I think that the Chamber facilitates that process.
Yeah, it's interesting because here in the state of New Hampshire, over on the seacoast near the old Pease Air Force Base, as many of our listeners may know, there is a outlet of the Department of Commerce that is set up in, I think it's a duty-free zone for import-export, and is designed to help facilitate these kinds of partnerships. And one of the services that I know they offer is if you have an interest in a country, they can help do some research. They can connect you with a bank or with an attorney or whatever facilities you need to help get that partnership up and running. And I mentioned the connection to the law. Is your legal system based on the British legal system? Is it like the U.S.? What kinds of issues might someone who wanted to do business, would they run into in terms of setting up a corporation and or doing business in at least Trinidad Tobago. I'm sure, again, it's very different in other parts of the Caribbean. But
yes, it is. It is different, but it's largely a very similar because it's based on that the UK system. So again, it was based largely on that. But I believe it's very easy to do business in Trinidad. But there are, I think, in terms of the bureaucratic red tape that you may encounter in terms of registration, in terms of getting people to work in Trinidad, if you are a foreign entity, requires going through the Ministry of National Security, which is similar to the Department of Homeland Security. It's a similar organization, and a work permit would maybe required. So you have to apply for a work permit if you're over 30 days, I believe, in the country. If not, you're visiting, and it's very easy. There's no visa requirement for a U.S. citizen to come to Trinidad and to most, I think, all of the Caribbean countries. It's very open and inviting for U.S. Persons, citizens to come there and do work and, you know, form a business alliances.
So I had the opportunity to visit Trinidad Tobago with your kind assistance. And I want to return a little bit to what you're talking about in the energy business, because you told me about a very fascinating, and then I went to visit a very fascinating part of your country, which is the Asphalt Lake. And maybe you can make a comment about that, because I think it does play a little bit into the our vision of what the Caribbean was in terms of old wooden sailing ships. So maybe you can just tell our listeners a little bit of a apocryphal story here about how some of that asphalt might have been used years ago.
Yes, and thank you, Don, for testing my knowledge of history. Yes, Sir Walter Raleigh, again, many years ago, had, while, you know, exploring the Caribbean area, had some holes in his ship, and he basically saw the pitch lake and used the asphalt there to patch the holes in his ship, and was able to be successful in his journeys on at sea. The lake is totally asphalt. It's nothing that you've ever seen anywhere else.
I can attest to that. Yeah, absolutely true. Yeah.
It's very, very, it's a wonder of nature, I would say. And very useful. People use it. It's used for paving roads and many other things. But that it exists in Trinidad as a lake, an asphalt lake. And they show a lot of geological wonders there that someone in that field of study can dive into. But essentially, that's what Sir Walter Raleigh used to patch his boats.
Yeah, and it was interesting to, we had an opportunity to visit and walk the lake with a guide, because you should walk it not by yourself, because there are places where you can find that the asphalt isn't as able to hold up weight, perhaps, as other spots. Yeah. And what they're telling me is that regardless of how much of the asphalt is removed for different commercial uses, given it a couple of days or so, it actually replenishes itself. So it's a renewable resource, a very unique geological oddity, and a very useful one from a commercial standpoint. So very interesting.
Definitely. It replaces itself almost like just a cornucopia, you know. As you take it out, it fills itself back up.
While you're on the topic of shipping, very interesting developments there in Trinidad and Tobago. So there's a pretty well-developed port system, and one of the largest is Point Lisas, and of course that goes back to the oil and gas industry, because as a point for exporting gas, that port has grown over the years. But an interesting business that has developed there as well is it is a transshipment point for bauxite. Correct, Malcolm? Correct me if I'm wrong. But so the bauxite is harvested in Brazil, but it's more favorable economically for them, for the companies to come to the Trinidad point and use the port there and take the bauxite from smaller ships and load it onto a larger ship, which they then take to China and other countries to sell. So that's very interesting, because it's out of the box. It's something that you may not think about when you're thinking about Trinidad and Tobago, but it's for them, it's cost effective, and it's more favorable in terms of the laws in Trinidad and the government in Trinidad being willing to work with the company to make that possible.
So it's a consolidation point in some sense. And do you know, other than bauxite, does that happen with other products?
Not right.
I believe it happens with iron and steel.
Oh, that's correct.
Yeah, iron and steel. I think that's maybe the major area that it happens with. But it is used in that way as a transshipment point to get to other parts of the world. And as I said, there's very well-developed port system, as well as the security mechanisms also, which is required to operate out at sea, are fairly well-developed in Trinidad and Tobago. So the standards there for security, maritime security, is pretty good. And U.S. companies find it good enough to meet their regulatory requirements in order to do business.
Terrific. You're listening to Business IQ Radio. We're here today with Malcolm Reed and Jamie Reed, visitors from Trinidad Tobago, who are also cohabitating here in the U.S. and out of Virginia, and were kind enough to stop in and talk to us today about what might we learn to do in terms of finding ways to do business and expand into the Caribbean. Let me ask you a bit about the political structure in the country. I'm assuming you're a parliamentary system primarily, and does that pose any pros or cons, or is it neutral in terms of doing business as a company coming either way? Because I guess there's also an export process, obviously, for people in Trinidad, Tobago, or other parts of the Caribbean may want to do business in the States.
Well, it is a parliamentary system where we have a prime minister as the head of government, and the head of state is the president, who really never really interacts at a government level. In terms of doing business, as with most small islands as well as Latin America, there is some sort of relationship sometimes with government entities, and this can lead to other issues, both good and bad. I always prefer to stay away. When you're a business, we stay very neutral when it comes to doing.
Sure.
We're not affiliated with any government party or anything like that. You do your business and you keep it, well within the regulations. Both internationally first and, of course, locally within the local laws, and you should be fine. Of course, it's easy to get tied up into that political landscape where it's two major parties, I consider myself to be a politically neutral person, so I focus on business and getting things done and in the right way.
Sure. So we've talked about some of the exports that take place, especially the oil and gas. We've talked about how Trinidad, Tobago, as well as other parts of the Caribbean, can act as intermediaries, both for everything from consolidating products like bauxite and iron and steel to financial services, where they're acting as intermediaries. What about imports? Would there be any demand? Do you see any interest? Do you think that is an unfulfilled opportunity that some of our listeners could be looking at and saying, "Boy, if you only had maple syrup coming down into Trinidad, Tobago, you could corner the market." Is there any? I'm assuming that American goods are in demand, but they're probably already, some of that is already being met by large chains. You have large American chain stores down there, or?
Well, there are large American chain stores, as you said, there, as well as other American companies that have products on the shelves. But there's still a tremendous opportunity. Trinidad is a large consumer market also. So everything that I've seen here, living here, I've seen in Trinidad also. There's a lot of opportunity still for new products, for products that have a competitive advantage. Because, you can make 100 widgets, but if your widget has a competitive advantage over others because it's handmade, it has expert craftsmanship, then I think that you would be able to appeal more to the Trinidad customer, the sophisticated customer there also who wants the best.
Well, we're fortunate here in New Hampshire, especially in the Manchester area, where we have a lot of high-tech startups. And I think Jamie was talking to us a little bit before about the IT is a growing area in interest. So I'm assuming, Jamie, from your perspective, if you were a technology company, is that a potential outlet market that people should be looking at some point in time to export down to Trinidad, Tobago?
I would definitely say so. And I mean, and as you said, some of the chains are there already. So, Apple has a store in Trinidad. But in terms of tech at a higher level, especially for the business market or in the business community. I would definitely say so. One of the things about Trinidad and also the Caribbean in general is that they are very inviting to business, to doing business with America. And one of the challenges being faced in Trinidad and Tobago right now is related to the U.S. dollar. So it's a challenge in Trinidad.
What is the currency in Trinidad Tobago?
It's one U.S. dollar translates to like 6.7 Trinidad Tobago dollars.
Okay.
And so, and that is, it changes, it floats.
Sure, yeah.
So it's a bit of a challenge there, but I think that could be an opportunity for people in America because, of course, there's a greater demand for U.S. dollars. So that's something to think about as well. That could be, that could pose a benefit for people looking to do business there.
Well, this arbitrage opportunity, whenever there's a difference in currency price points, I think a lot of companies have gotten sophisticated enough to realize that they really have to price to the country. You don't, you can't charge the same premium. We see this. This is a debate in the U.S. in terms of the cost of drugs, for example, in Canada is very different than the cost of drugs in the U.S. And so the pharmaceutical companies have understood that. In my experience, companies that are just starting up are looking to prove their product and gain market share and gain name and recognition. And it sounds like, I mean, just from what I'm hearing you saying, you've got an English-speaking, English-reading community that's highly literate, that's sophisticated in terms of their education, that they understand IT products. They're consumers that are used to seeing many of the other products here in the States. So they would represent a very interesting, almost a test market opportunity for people to experiment and try introducing products.
And Don, I'd like to add to that too. One of the key enablers to do business is telecommunications. And I believe Trinidad and Tobago has a very robust telecommunications infrastructure with 4G networks and lots of local hotspots that you'd find in public. So a lot of times people wanting to do business just want to, you know, take out their mobile device and connect to the internet. You can do that at various public facilities all over in the streets sometimes. They have hotspot areas in the streets and a very robust telecommunications network brought upon by multiple providers, global providers of telecom services. And I think it's quite, people in Trinidad and Tobago are always on the internet. They're always doing something, some sort of commerce or whatever on the internet. So you have a consumer, again, that is connected. And I think that part of IT, the telecoms link with IT, again, would facilitate any startup coming there because a lot of startups use applications that run off of that. And for example, Jamie in her first role started in IT and she worked in IT in Trinidad. I myself, I do information assurance. I did some studies here from Norwich University. I did a degree also in information assurance, which translates to cybersecurity. There are data centers that are popping up in Trinidad also. Again, another opportunity for startups to do business and for data to be housed and securely in a good zone. And just to add to that, part of what we do is risk management.
Right.
So again, housing your data center in Trinidad it's a good place to be. And when we think about the Caribbean, we think of hurricanes, and that is correct. The Caribbean is a place where hurricanes sort of start off. So you usually get a Category 1 hurricane. When it reaches Florida, it's Category 4, maybe right. Category 5, as the case may be, 3 to 5. In this case, Trinidad and Tobago. Like I have these maps that show hurricanes for over 100 years, but only 3 have passed through Trinidad and Tobago. So it's not immune. I don't like to use that term in today's uncertain world, but I think it falls slightly below the hurricane belt. So again, in terms of risk, natural disaster risk, yes, it's an active seismic region, but again, no major earthquakes for, I guess, 500 years or so, no serious earthquakes. We have small tremors. So again, having, you know, housing your IT facilities there, that's a good opportunity also for a business coming from the US to Trinidad. Again, you have the technical people who are highly trained and skilled, as well as the infrastructure. Telecoms remains a very strong infrastructure there, and all that assists that whole process of doing business in Trinidad. Or again, I'll put in a plug also for the Bahamas, also a very good place to do business. I've been there a few times. recently, and in their case, their currency is 1-to-1.
Okay.
So it's one Bahamian dollar is one U.S. dollar.
Right.
And an excellent place to do a strong financial center in the Bahamas there to do business. And I've met with a lot of their very senior people at the government level, the commissioner of police there, who's in charge of the whole, all the islands of the Bahamas, a good friend of mine. So I understand the risk there too. It's very, I would say, it's preferential to do business in the Caribbean. Countries like, again, the Bahamas, Trinidad and Tobago, and I'm sure Barbados also, they're high income economies, so you get a great, in terms of your investment, because business people speak about, in business terms, a return on investment. I think you can gain a high return on your investment in these islands.
Yes, you're listening to 105.1 WBNH. And to that, the flip side of it then would be some of the poorer countries sound like they would be the higher risk environments. I would guess Haiti or perhaps Jamaica, is that? Or what? How would you rate them in terms of the opportunity to do business? Or where should a business in New Hampshire that's thinking about looking to expand? You've given us three to look at as starting spot, Trinidad and Tobago, the Bahamas, and Barbados. What's sort of on the flip side of that?
Well, on the flip side, we have some of the poorer countries that well, maybe one, I think Haiti. I think the rest of them are at least lower to middle income and above. But even though it's a poorer country, I wouldn't see it as, I think their main thing is that sometimes they take a long time to do business. But I see the world in terms of like a SWOT analysis. So yes, there is a...
You have to explain what SWOT is for some of our listeners.
Yes. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And it's an assessment tool used by business people to assess how they make decisions. So, you know, it may seem like a threat, you know, in terms of there are threats associated with different, you know, it's a poor country, crime rate is associated with poverty. It seems that it's you know, it's where crime is high, where poverty exists in a great sense, crime is also high, and other factors that are negative also exist. But I think there's also an opportunity when there's such a situation, because you have people, again, who are, again, highly, you know, they have highly skilled people there also. And, you know, in terms of the cost of labor, again, would be less. And companies have been investing in some of these, even these poorer countries, because they see them as good points where, again, you have labor as well as infrastructure that may be present that you can do. Now, their infrastructure, I can't evaluate their telecoms,
right, sure,
infrastructure and whatever. But I know Haiti experienced a major earthquake recently,
right,
where it was a hit to their infrastructure. A lot of infrastructure was damaged. But at the same time, I know they have been on the road to recovery, right? And other islands like St. Lucia, St. Vincent, Grenada, I think these islands also pose an excellent opportunity for investors to come in. Let's just say a company in New Hampshire was interested in making some exotic new sauce, I would say, something to put on your food, something that you want to put to sell, you know, that appeals to someone with some specific taste, you know, and that you can sell to restaurants and whatever. Grenada is called a spice island. Mm. Spice Island.
Yep.
They are known for spices. So the best exotic spices in the world you'll find there. You find the hottest peppers too in Trinidad. So you can make these. They seem like simple things. We take it for granted when we go to a restaurant and we see a pepper sauce or a specific Worcester sauce or whatever. Trinidad also has the Angostura bitters. I'm sure those of us who've been to bars and whatever and asked for Angostura bitters that you mm-hmm. place in your drink, that comes from Trinidad also. Again, because of the flora that the Caribbean has, there's nutmeg, spices, all these things that a company can use as raw products into something that they would like to make and maybe export even further to other parts of the world. So there's tremendous opportunity, not just in the IT sector, but again into the, I guess I would call food and fast-moving consumer goods industries.
Well, from the discussion that we've been having with our guests today, Malcolm Reed and Jamie Reed, I think it's clear something we touched on sort of in the beginning of the show, which is You're probably best to find a good partner who knows how to navigate their way around. I mean, you've just given us this litany of information that is not something that someone has to acquire, because if you find a partner down there who's used to doing business in this way, they understand the currency risks, they understand who are reliable suppliers, they understand how to navigate through the government. And so I'm looking for your endorsement that, yes, that probably is one of the first steps, is to find a good partner to do business with in the area.
And yes, Don, I totally agree. I think having a good partner acts, for lack of a better term, it acts as your guide, as your conductor through the process of getting registered, of doing business in this particular environment. As most of us know, culture is it can be a strength and a weakness in terms of how successful you become in business in a particular area. You understanding the culture of a country, of a specific geographic region, is very important in terms of how successful you're going to be. So having a partner there gives you that edge up on the competition, that edge up on anyone else doing business, because you have an appropriate partner, someone who sees things the way that you do, you know, someone that you gel well with and that can help you to navigate the environment there, the business environment, in order for you to be successful.
I even know from my own experience that going international, you have to be sensitive to packaging and the way in which you promote your product, the image that you want to promote. There are certain characteristics. And that's something that I'm guessing the partner has a sense of the local mindset, what they're looking for. So all very, very important issues and considerations. We're beginning to approach the end of our show here. Time seems to be flying by quickly. What is the future for the Caribbean? What do you see in terms of what's going to, are there developing trends? And I know you can probably speak more definitively about Trinidad and Tobago, but in general, do you have any observations or like to make some predictions about what's going to take place in the Caribbean in general as the world economy continues to move?
Well, I know Malcolm will have a lot to say about that because he's very passionate about that. One of the things that I would like to mention is there's a partnership between the governments and the Caribbean called the CSME. That's the Caribbean Single Market Economy. And I guess you could compare it to what's being done in Europe, mm-hmm. with the attempt to make it easier for businesses within each of the countries.
So the EU bringing down barriers in terms of being able to move things transnationally. Okay.
So, and they do a lot of work, and every year they meet and they continue to build on that. And for me personally, I hope that will become, that they can get more done. And when I say make it even more easier, because at present, one of the greatest benefits that they've offered to the islands is that it's easier for people within the islands to go to another to work without having to go through the tedious work permit process. But I would like to see them to do even more to help each other grow their business communities.
Yes, and just to add to what Jamie's saying, that's an excellent point. As well as in the future, I see, the growth of that knowledge, the knowledge worker in that particular region. I think that advisory services and the like increasing in the Caribbean region. As I said, we have a very qualified cadre of individuals to choose from there. And I think that's an excellent source, as well as, again, companies, since everything we are now, software as a service and what they call cloud computing and all that, I can see the Caribbean being a focal point for some of a repository of data for a lot of companies who want their data in a safe place, as well as easily accessible. So I think that's the IT sector growing also. Obviously, natural gas, and if we were to even diversify away from fossil fuels, we have plenty of sunshine, 12 hours a day for 365 days a year. So
actually,
again,
being near the equator, you actually do have a balance of 12-hour days.
We have 12-hour days,
which we don't experience here in the Northeast, because we have the early rising of the sun in the summer and then, you know, near much shorter daylight periods, but that changes as you get near the equator, obviously.
It changes, and it provides, you know, sort of a balance there as well as the opportunity for solar energy, you know, and maybe some sort of industry spinning off of that. Also wind in the northeast trade winds go through the Caribbean, providing natural energy sources that has yet to be on tap. So I want to see that develop more in the Caribbean in terms of diversification of how we produce power. And we should be producing it in a responsible way. Fossil fuels have been great over the years, and I'm sure they still have their usage. But again, we want to take care of our environment. We want to be environmentally friendly. We want to look at issues such as global warming and stuff and make sure that we are not adding to any of the negative issues associated with global warming and using fossil fuels to as energy.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in today here to Business IQ Radio on WBNH, and very, very interesting, some wonderful information. If people wanted to get in contact with either of you to learn a little bit about doing business in the Caribbean, is it all right for them? May I ask you to put out some information and please tell us about your company, give us your website, and is it all right for people if they're interested to use you as an initial point of contact, certainly for Trinidad Tobago?
Certainly, Don. That would be, we would welcome that a lot. You can reach out to us anytime. I'll tell you a bit of our company, what we do. We are into the field of operational risk. So if the term business continuity, emergency management, continuity of operations, and that type of thing, disaster risk management, security management, as well as investigations, that's what we do.
And if they wanted to reach you, is there an email or a website they should
yes.
they should go to?
So our website is www.brisonltd.com. That is BRISONLTD.com. And our number here in the U.S. is 210-504-7475.
Well, that's great. And I do encourage anyone who wants to learn more about doing business in the Caribbean to reach out to you. And again, I really appreciate what you're telling us about also the Chambers of Commerce. And I think a lot of Americans didn't realize that the American Chamber of Commerce has a presence not only in Trinidad and Tobago, but in much of the Caribbean, and certainly the Department of Commerce as a good starting point to get going. And I would think there are usually commercial developers or people interested in commercial economic development at the embassies, and I would think that they could reach out to, if they had a particular country in mind, to go there as well. So, well, listen, folks, thank you very much. Another good show here at the Business IQ Radio. My colleague Andrea O'Brien will be back shortly. If you'd like to hear this show again, you can find it in our archive at Podbean, podbean.com. Just look up Business IQ Radio, or you can certainly go, and I would ask you to like us on the Facebook account for the station, 105.1, which is WBNHBedfordRadio.com, WBNHBedfordRadio.com on Facebook. At that note, we will say thank you very much. Everybody have a very, very good week, and continue to do good business.